Now, please turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, if you would. I want to read a text and share the burden on my heart for this hour by the help of the Lord and your prayers. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse 8. I want to especially speak to young Christians tonight and maybe give you some instruction and challenge the rest of us to be what we ought to be and to do what we ought to do. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, familiar text. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We know that text. We can quote that text. There's more there than I'll be able to explain tonight. I'm preaching on the subject, ready for the lion, ready for the lion. As God's people, we do have an adversary. We do have an enemy. When you got saved, you left the devil's side and you quit working for him and he became your enemy. I wish I could stand up here and tell you that after you get saved, everything's easy and everybody loves Christians and everybody will pat you on the back for being a Christian. I wish I could tell you that the world's for you and religion's for you. I wish I could stand up here and tell you that your old nature was gone. And that you're sinlessly perfect. But none of that's true. None of that is true. I remember a preacher that I used to know, preached for him a time or two in Kentucky years ago. And he joined this movement, this sinless perfection movement. Somebody convinced him that you can be perfect. I mean, teetotally, in every way, motive, attitude, perfect. I'm sorry, folks, but that's a lie. I wish that was true, but as long as you have that old nature, you're not perfect. So you, not only is the world against you, and not only is the devil against you, and all his imps, and not only is all false religion against you, and everybody involved in the apostasy, not only all that, but part of you is still unredeemed. You still got the old man. Sometimes we don't need any outside help. We can literally defeat ourselves. Hello? We still have the old man. But this text reminds us of our adversary, the devil. He has many names. Devil means the one who slanders. Satan means the one who accuses. Those are probably the most common names. Which remind us that basically he's always talking about us. Always slandering and accusing us to God. And always slandering and accusing God to us. Not only does the devil talk about you and me to God, but he talks about God to you and me. In a bad light, of course. So, he is the epitome of slander and accusation. The Bible describes our adversary with many terms. He's described as a serpent because he is sly. He is described as a dragon because he's vicious. He's described as an angel of light because he's devious. He's described in this text as a lion. Because he seeks to attack and destroy the Christian entirely. And when the lion attacks its prey and devours its prey, it's not a pretty picture. Neither is it a pretty picture when a Christian falls, loses his joy, loses his testimony and his influence. It's not a pretty picture. Well, this text says the devil will, as a roaring lion, seek to attack you and destroy you. So you better be ready. How do the animals of the wild prepare for the lion? There's no way they can get away from the lion. Totally. There's no place they can go. Do they have a strategy for their survival? How do they escape the mouth of the king of the forest? Well, I want to give you two or three things that I think are not only true in nature, but are true in the spiritual life as well. Some basic things, mainly for young Christians tonight, who need to know what to do to be ready for the attack of the lion. You see, it's not an if question. It's not if I'll be attacked. Oh no, it's just a when question. And so, you need to be ready at all times. Number one, and I'm using a gazelle tonight as the prey. I could use a lot of other animals that the lion preys upon, but I chose to use the gazelle tonight. Number one, the gazelle will stay alert at all times. He will take a bite of food and look around for a lion. Take a bite of food and look around for a lion. Just almost moment by moment. There's never a time that he says, well, I'm just going to forget for the next hour that there's a lion out there wanting me for lunch today. Oh, no. He's always alert to the fact that he is the prey, and somewhere out there lurking never far away is a bloodthirsty, merciless carnivore, a roaring lion. And as soon as I forget the danger and forget the threat, then I will be the next victim. Always alert. Always. Because the lion's never far away. And the prey knows it's a matter of life and death. I mean, this is not fun and games. This is not freeze tag. You know, this is my life here we're talking about. If when that lion gets me around the neck and starts crunching, that's it. This is ultra important. It's a matter of survival that I stay alert. Life and death here. I can't live if I can't stay alert and avoid the lion. That's the very meaning of the word here in our text, sober. The word sober means alert. Alert. Look it up in the Greek dictionary. It means alert. Just like the gazelle. It means you're always scanning the area for the approach of the enemy, which usually comes in the form of some temptation. Sober. Alert. Because the enemy's never far away. Also, I want to point out that the word sober here is the word nepho, which means no alcohol. This is another of many places in the Bible which say that Christians don't drink at all. The word means free from intoxicants. And after you've had one drink, you're no longer free. After the first drink, you can go to these people and they can measure how drunk you are with the breathalyzer. So this is among many texts that say Christians are teetotalers. Christians don't drink. Amen now. Almost every denomination in the world says you can have a social drink. All Catholics, Protestants, and and all the liberal Baptists and half the backslid conservative Baptists. But according to the Word of God, which is the only authority, nepho, sober, no drinking. And you don't have to have much common sense to understand why. Amen. Well, I just point that out. That's right there in front of us in our text. This is the third time that Peter has said, be sober. Chapter 1, chapter 4, and again here, be sober, be sober, be sober. Christian, be aware of what's going on. Be alert. Be disciplined in your thinking. Be self-controlled. Be right-minded. You can't go through the Christian life in neutral. You have got to always be thinking, planning, preparing. The Bible, Paul called it being circumspect. That means always looking around you. Alert. It's a matter of life and death because you can't afford even one mistake. Sober. The next admonition is be vigilant. It means the same thing. It means being earnest. It means being on the watch, on the lookout for the approach of the enemy. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. Most Christians fail right there. They've kind of got a nonchalant attitude. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. If the devil's going to get me, he's going to get me. Can I say something? That's crazy. Amen. If he gets you, it'll be because you failed to be sober and vigilant. And you'll not be able to blame the lion anymore than you can blame the lion when it catches the gazelle. It's the gazelle's fault for not staying alert. I have known many Christians to fall. It has put a deep fear in my heart. I have known one man, church and ministry after another for 30 years to fall. I've gone some books there. I'm reading their autobiographies to try to find out what in the world happened. I'm talking about men who influenced millions of people who fell. I have a sneaking suspicion somewhere along the line they quit being sober and they quit being vigilant. Be sober, be vigilant. And so, number one, the gazelle stays alert. Number two, he stays healthy. Which means plenty of good food and plenty of exercise. You know what the prey doesn't do? He doesn't say, "Oh, here comes the lion. He's just 30 paces away. I think I'll get healthy now." Oh yeah, you got 4 seconds to get healthy. No, you stay healthy all the time. But a lot of Christians say, "Oh me, the devil's coming after me, and I need to get healthy now." As if you could do that in just a split second of time. It's a daily business. How often do you think the animals of the wild eat? They eat every day. They eat every hour. Just like you and I maintain our spiritual life and health by feeding upon the Word of God, not just on Sunday and not even every day, but sometimes even during the day. Now that's your job. Nobody else can do that for you. Nobody can do your praying for you. Nobody can do your Bible reading for you. Nobody can be spiritually strong in your behalf. That's entirely your responsibility. So the giraffe stays healthy between attacks because his health is his life. And when it's time to run, nobody can do his running for him. And nobody does his eating for him. And he never forgets something. He's the prey and the lion's the predator. A carnivore, merciless and bloodthirsty. As God's people, we maintain our spiritual life by reading this book, the Word of God. It's your health and it's the food for your soul. Jeremiah said, "Thy words were found and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart." Job said, "I've esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food." Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Just forsake your Bible and mark her down. I can tell you how it's going to end up. I can tell you the rest of the story. I remember one time we were in this home talking to this lady. She had some very rebellious children, and they didn't listen to a thing I said. And I finally said this. I said, "I can tell you the end of this story. The path you're on, you're rebellious." And I did. I told that young girl what the next 10 years of her life was going to be like. You can just tell. When you know it all, and you're rebellious, and you're still a teenager and you won't listen to no authority, then I can just tell you, you are headed for a whole lot of tears and a whole lot of disappointment and a whole lot of scars. And I can tell you as well, you leave out the Word of God, which is the food for our soul, and you're going to get weak, and you're the one that the roaring lion is going to catch. You'll be the very one. You see, lions are stalkers. You ever seen a cat? I know you have, and they're in the same family. They're cousins. You ever seen a cat? How to get its eye on something, and it'll bow down on the ground. And I've watched them, and they'll just, oh, they're so patient, aren't they? They'll watch that little rabbit or that bird or whatever it is for the longest time and just inch their way so slowly. The lion's that way, a stalker, out of view, silent, all the while planning his next move. The when and the why and the how and the who. And we all know that some prey is easier target. The lion knows this. He knows he's far more likely to catch a young animal. They hadn't quite reached their maximum strength and speed. The see, the young gazelle can't run 50 miles an hour like mom and daddy can. So the lion will go after the young. And the lion will go after also the older ones. They're just a little bit slower than they used to be. And then also go after the weak ones. The ones that are sick or have been sick and are recovering. That's exactly the way it is in the church. The devil, the roaring lion, he's after the young Christians. They don't have the experience. They don't recognize his approach as quickly, maybe as some of us do. He's after the senior saints. Because if he can get them to mess up in the last quarter, then that throws a shadow over everything they've ever done. He loves to trip you up at the last. And he's after the weak ones and the sick ones and the backslidden ones. You're not as strong as the rest. And so if all this is true, and it is, if the devil's after the young and the senior ones and the weak ones, and that means that those who are not in that group, we need to put some extra support and prayers for those who are the easier target. Amen. Hey, did you forget that it used to be you that was a new Christian and a young Christian? And how many times did you and I fumble and mess up? Hey, you hadn't always been as spiritual as you are tonight. Come on. Amen. You didn't always know what you know tonight. We could all fill this church tonight with stories of our blunders and our wrong decisions. And we need to put some extra encouragement, and I'll say more about that in a moment. But I'm telling you, the devil's after the young, and he's after the old, and he's after the sick. Absolutely. So if we're the prey and the devil is the lion, then that means you can never let down your guard. You say, well, I survived an attack last week. Well, praise God. That's no guarantee you'll survive this week. All you need is a little bit of pride and self-confidence and a little bit of carelessness, and that's a recipe for disaster, my friend. Let him that thinketh he standeth, beware, take heed, lest he fall. You just start bragging on what a super-duper Christian you are, and you'll fall. That's right. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own lips. Ain't none of us worthy of much praise. I think of Peter. That's why he fell. Why he was so sure of himself. Lord, I'll never deny you. Lord, they may all deny you, not me. I'm the best of the whole lot. Went to sleep when he should have been praying. Prayer, self-confidence, carelessness, all steps to Peter's denial. He fell because he was trusting in himself. And it can happen to you and me. Peter learned the hard way. Well, you stay alert. And you stay healthy. No matter what your physical health may be, you can always stay spiritually strong. Thank God. I read of a lady, she was an invalid, bedridden for 50 years. But you know what? All during that time, she stayed spiritually strong. And so can you and I. Last of all, the gazelle stays with the herd. Any animal that wanders off on his own will not survive. Cannot survive. You stay with the group. You stay with the herd. There's safety in numbers. There's experience in numbers. As Christians, likewise. Friend, we stay with our group. We fellowship one with another. Why? We need the mutual edification. You are not going to find encouragement to live for Christ among lost people. And you won't even find it among some Christians. But you're not going to find it among the world. And we better learn. I think of several people. Oh, I think of one right now. This man said to me one day, I don't go to church. I don't need church. I can be a Christian without church. He said, I really don't like the fact that churches are tax exempt. And that was another reason why he didn't go to church. But oh, he was a Christian, all right. How in the world would you like trying to explain that to Jesus? I didn't want to be around your people. And I thought the government ought to tax the church so the church would have less money to spend for the Lord's work so the government could have more of the church's money. That's what he's going to have to tell Jesus one day. You better learn to stay with the herd. Stay with the group. I like what the Bible says about Peter and John. One time it says they got out of prison. And it says they being let go, it says they went to their own company. Acts 4:23. Which means that we always show up where we belong. Eventually, we show up where at heart we belong. Do you know why some people feel comfortable at church? Because you belong here. Do you know why sinners don't? They don't belong. Right? I mean, that used to be you and me. You know why the world feels comfortable in their dens of vice and sin? Because they are where they belong. That's where their heart is. And don't tell me you're a Christian if you don't want to be around Christians. I wouldn't want to die with that kind of profession. Well, the gazelle stays with the herd. Just drop out of church, you'll be the next victim, you'll be the next meal for the lion. It can happen to anybody, by the way. Do you know how weak we are? We're so weak, I guarantee you, if you miss church on purpose for a month or two, you'd probably never get back in. You know what you'd do? This is what you'd do. You'd say, oh me, I can't go back. I'm embarrassed. Yeah. I can't go back. I know I should. And instead of going to somewhere, they'll just drop. I mean, I'm thinking of a preacher right now that I know that dropped out of church. A preacher! You better stay with the herd. The Bible does say not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It is a biblical injunction for our own good. Miss Nora told me today, she said, it's amazing. So many people want to go to church and they're not able, and so many people are able and they don't want to go. Yeah. Gazelles, they'll also stay in wide open spaces. Why? So they can see the approaching lion. They'll stay away from dark places and small spaces. I mean, if they stay near the jungle, the lion just might be on the other side of that tree. They stay in wide open spaces. And we need to do the same thing. Stay in the light. Stay with the group. Stay away from dangerous places. Stay away from questionable places where there's danger. There are places you ought to avoid. I mean, don't go where your testimony is going to be compromised. Be careful where you go. Amen. Be careful where you go. I mean, if Jesus wouldn't go there and do that, then what in the world are you doing there? Amen. Is that fair? So I repeat, You stay ready for the lion by staying alert and staying healthy and staying with the group. That's three simple things. It'll spare you 10,000 miseries if you remember that in the days to come. You know, if that gazelle sees a lion approaching, if that gazelle has not been alert and that lion is just 1 pounce away, the gazelle's not going to make it. He will not make it. But if he'll stay alert like he should and he sees that lion when it starts running toward him at 30 yards away, the lion will never catch him. Because the maximum speed of a lion is 50 miles an hour and the maximum speed of a gazelle is 50 miles an hour. And if they both start running at the same time, he will never, ever, mathematically, ever catch him. If you'll stay alert and stay in the Bible and stay in church and live right, thank God, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You don't have to be a defeated, devoured Christian, thank God. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And believe it or not, every Christian could be and ought to be a good Christian and end up well. Thank God. But if you start running when he's right beside of you, you're suffer. You waited too late. Some people don't get serious about their Christian life till the last 5 minutes. Till some tragedy strikes. You better stay right with God all the time. Make that your business. And you know why a lion roars? It talks about a roaring lion. The lion won't roar while he's over there in the bush. He'll scare the prey away. He doesn't even roar as he's approaching. He'll scare the prey away. He only roars when he's getting ready to pounce. It's the last thing he does before he sinks his teeth in that animal's neck. It is an intimidation act. He does that to terrify, to surprise, to paralyze with fear. When the lion roars, that means I'm here and it's too late. Don't even run. That's just like the devil. He's out to scare you, to roar at you, to intimidate you, to put fear in your heart, to get you to give up. That's right. But there's a whole lot more bark there than there is bite. And God's people should not be intimidated by the devil. Amen. Because God's a whole lot greater than the devil is. So don't let the devil terrify you. Well, we can't control what the devil does. But I'll tell you this, we can control what we do. I'm almost done. We can be ready. We can be alert. Just act like it's going to happen every day and then you'll be ready. We can be watchful. We can be sober. We can be vigilant. And the devil will never defeat you unless you let him. It's your decision. The question then, are you ready for the lion? I was listening to a sermon the other day by a preacher. And as I was listening to it, I couldn't help but thinking of what a great preacher he was and what happened to him and how the lion devoured him. And I just thought, oh dear brother, what happened? Oh dear brother, did you not read your Bible? Did you not stay alert? What happened? I don't know the details there. But if he could stand here right now, and he was raised in an adjoining county and pastored the largest church in his state, and it was as eloquent a man as I ever knew. If he could stand here right now, he would say, please be ready for the lion. Because it's not an if question. It's just a when question. And a final thing. Sometimes the animals will do a very wise thing when they know they're in enemy territory. They'll say, "We know the lions are out there and we know they're coming. And we know our young probably can't outrun them. And we've got some sick ones among us too. And some older ones we don't want to lose. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to put them in the middle and we're going to form a circle around them. And so we're all going to face out in all directions. And we're going to stand there, and when the lions come from all directions, they're not going to get our young. They're not going to get our seniors. They're not going to get our weak ones. They're going to have to go through us to get to them. That's what we come to church for. To form a circle around our weak, our young, our seniors, our hurting. And say, Mr. Devil, you want them? All right. You're going to have to get through me first. You want my children, my grandchildren, my wife? You're going to have to get through me first. We're going to form a circle and we're going to be ready and we're going to fight and we're going to protect the ones we love. Amen and amen. Boy, I wish we had as much sense as animals do when it comes to lions' attack. That's the message.